Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Shannon. Bless you. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me for a few moments. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 18. Jesus made a prediction. And as I read this, my mind was just overwhelmed. You have to consider that this was a week before the crucifixion. How many of you this morning have had something out ahead, maybe a surgery or a situation out ahead of you, and you had to think about it for a while? It was coming up. Have you been through that? Imagine this one. Verse number 31 of chapter 18 of Luke. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again." Imagine carrying that. The effect that it would have upon your life. Jesus continued on in ministry throughout that week. Kept all of his appointments. Did everything that was required of him. He didn't go and sit in under a tree and have a pity party. Come on. He set his face toward Jerusalem, toward the purpose of redeeming our lives. Folks, that's incredible to me. 10 years ago on an Easter Sunday, I shared this story, and it always sticks with me, so I share it again, and maybe it'll get inside of you. In the early 1920s, Nikolai Bakharin was sent from Moscow to Kyiv to address a vast anti-God rally. For an hour, he abused and ridiculed the Christian faith until it seemed as if the whole structure of belief was in ruins. Then questions were invited. A priest from the Orthodox Church rose and asked to speak. He faced the people and gave them the ancient Easter greeting, "Christ is risen." Instantly, the whole vast assembly rose to its feet, and the reply came back like a crash of breakers against a cliff. "He is risen indeed." Hallelujah. I'd like for us, before I go on, to just put that exclamation in here. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
All right, that was a good practice, but that's not as good as it's going to get. Christ is risen. One more time. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. This is the proclamation of this day. But I have to tell you this morning, as magnificent as the story of the resurrection is, if that's all we had, it would be incomplete. If you notice, even in our passage here, Jesus ended in saying, "On the third day, he will rise again." Almost, if you will, as though it was an afterthought to the greater emphasis that he was placing on the other events. Once again, think about it. They will mock him. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. He could have easily have said, Mary will come to the tomb. There will be angels. Peter and John will come later. No one will believe that I'm actually alive until I show up in a room in Galilee. He could have added all that because it was all on his plate on that day. As I begin to pray and seek the Lord as to what to share on this Sunday morning, I have to say that I'm compelled to you to bring the whole story. I call it the phrases of Christ's passion. We're not going to unpackage every single piece of this, but there are seven phrases that I think that every person, every believer especially, should have part of their mind and heart as we set together on an Easter Sunday. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to look briefly. I want to be sure and have you out here in a timely manner today. But if you'll follow along with me, if that worked, it would have a new saying on there. Isn't that cool? Oh, well. The first one is found here in Matthew 21, verse number 9. Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. You say, hold on a minute, that was for last week. That was Palm Sunday. No, it's part of the story of his resurrection. Because see, the triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem was a fulfillment of prophecy, Zechariah 9:9. Jesus was purposed to fulfill the word of God. Everything that was prophesied, he lived out. Whether it be his water baptism, healing the sick, raising the dead, all of it was fulfillment of prophecy. To fulfill the word of God, Jesus needed to be in the right place at the right time. Everything that we can see about that story on that day put Jesus in the right place at the right time. No other day would have achieved the same response. No other day would have fulfilled the word of prophecy. He had to be there on that day. Can I just pause to say that he is still ordering lives in that same way? If you give God an opportunity, he will order your steps. You may not be, as Jesus was, totally aware and completely aware of what was coming next, but if you will allow the Lord, he will order your steps. I believe that he ordered your steps to come and be with us this morning. You see, the triumphant entry of Christ, spectacular as it was, him descending down into Jerusalem on a donkey's colt, children and people singing out and praising, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But there's some very incredible things there that must be noted. First of all, the word Hosanna is a Hebrew idiom that actually means save us. Save us. So it was a word of praise, yes, but it was a call, a dispatch to the Lord to bring salvation to the people. His coming was a type. It was a type of his condescension, his descent from heaven to earth. Paul said it in this way in Philippians chapter 2. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant. God came down to earth. Praise his name. You see, all the bowls and lambs and all the things that had been slain in days past had no reality in the salvation of mankind were it not for the fact that the Son of God came and descended from heaven down to earth and gave himself. So the triumphant entry sets that. Philip Brooks says it in this way: Jesus Christ, the condensation of divinity, the exaltation of humanity. His coming down has allowed us to reach up and to go up one of these days. The second phrase, I don't know, I'm going to try this. I don't know that it'll work, but let me try it here. Let's see. Look at that. My house will be called a house of prayer. You see, when Jesus made that descent into Jerusalem, he did not fulfill his purpose just in receiving the praise, but he came in, went into the temple, began to turn over the money changers, tables, drive out those that were selling the lambs and the goats and all of that, the birds. Can you imagine the chaos that existed in that place? As he comes in, and the scripture says, and the zeal of the Lord consumed him. So I picture him walking in to the temple to offer praise, to offer glory to the Father, to teach individuals, and instead, what's he see? Nothing but chaos. So he begins to turn over the tables, begins to drive out the sheep and the goats and the birds and everything that had been brought in. You see, Jerusalem was preparing for Passover, one of the most sacred of the feasts of the Jewish nation. And Jesus had come in for that purpose as well. We know that he gathers in the upper room to celebrate Passover with his disciples. But the whole thing about the feast was a time set apart to be in the presence of God. He said, my house will be called a house of prayer. These are prophetic words. Jesus was coming to Jerusalem to bring spiritual cleansing to all mankind. In other words, he wants to clean the temple. He said, well, you mean we're the temple? Yes, the Apostle Paul said, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He goes on to say, you're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You see, the purpose of Jesus coming, the purpose of the sacrifice that he made for us was to cleanse the temple of our life so that his spirit could come and dwell within us. Hallelujah. My house will be called a house of prayer. Oh, I pray that you hear that challenge this morning. Because see, it is part of the resurrection. You cannot glory in the resurrection unless you're willing for him to cleanse the house. I think too many times people want to hold on to all the money changing and all the chaos of their lives, when he would desire to come in and cleanse us and prepare us. Oh, I wish I had more time, but I don't. Let's see. Nope, it's not going to. There it is. Wait, hold it. Look at that. Look at this one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know how this happened? One of the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, tell us, Master, what's the most important commandment? You know why he was trying to do that. He was wanting to trip up Jesus. If Jesus would have called one of them more important than the others, then they would have immediately responded, well, what about? Well, what about? What about? He gives this really Old Testament proclamation. He said, in these two things, all the law and all the prophets are fulfilled. In other words, if you do this, if you really do this, you will fulfill everything that God is desiring. Now, how huge is that? In a strange sort of way, he was actually saying, you would not need my sacrifice. It would not be necessary for me to go on to the cross if you would do all of these things right here. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And another place he says, with all your strength. It's interesting to me as to how we find God. We find him first in the spirit man. There's something down inside of us in our spirit that is awakened to the reality that God is real. That Jesus came. Jesus died. We accept him, first of all, in our spirit man. And then the wrestling match begins. Then the tension begins because our bodies, which are from the earth, begin to cry out and want this and want that and want to be recognized. Amen? Come on, how many? Amen? Our flesh cries out. It wants to be the boss. It wants to rule. But your spirit inside of you that has chosen Jesus to be on the throne of your life begins to speak and cry out to your flesh, come on, get in alignment. And we have that tension that exists. Isn't it grand when your spirit, the spirit of the Lord within you, conquers something in your flesh? How many have experienced that? Isn't it grand? I mean, it is salvation. It is the awakening of our spiritual life when the spirit within us conquers something that the flesh is desiring that doesn't need to be there. Then there's the mind. Then there's the mind. I'm not sure that battle will ever end until we're in the presence of the Lord. The mind of doubt. The mind of lust. The mind of fantasy. The mind of confusion and struggle. Your spirit is crying out for the Prince of Peace to cover over all of it. You know, you think, yes, I've conquered this in my body, but can I get a hold of my mind? Huh? I'd like, for the sake of others around you this morning, how many of you know the struggle of the mind against the spirit? Yeah, look around. Come on, not just at me. Look around. It belongs to all of us. So see this. See how powerful these words of Jesus? He said, this is the commandment. This is, if you fulfill this, you've done it all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then there's that appendage of loving your neighbor as yourself. Oh my. Oh my. Huh? I challenge you just to drive from here to Indianapolis and see if you can hold that last part. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, this is the challenge. This is the challenge that comes out. You know, we say, oh, yes, you know, I can make it to God. I can do what God wants me to do and everything. You can't even do this. And by the way, this love that he mentions here, that is agape love. That is the God love. It's not just a feeling. It's an act of your will. It's action love, not just feeling love. You understand? That's why this is so important for us to look at here on Resurrection Sunday, because see, we need to realize, I can't get to this. I needed someone to take my place. Here, look at this one. This gospel of the kingdom. Now, this was during the week of his passion. This was before the cross. This good news of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. He is responding to a question by the disciples. When will these things happen? When will the end come? Jesus said, here, it's all going to be over at this point. When this gospel of the kingdom, this good news of the kingdom, is preached to the whole world as a testimony. We have in service this morning Bill and Melissa Chappell, who are missionaries. Give us a wave back there, Bill. Missionaries to Ireland. He called this week and asked if he could be part of our service. We support these folks, and they are taking the gospel to Ireland. And missionaries all over the world that are trying to reach the fulfillment of this passage of Scripture. You see the contrast? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oops, I cannot do that. He said, so then we need good news. Good news needs to go across the face of the earth. What is the good news? Let me take you to one more. Jesus entered a garden called Gethsemane. There in the garden, a mystery took place that's really beyond our understanding. That mystery is where the sins of all mankind were laid upon Jesus. And he was given the mandate by the Father to take them to the cross. Now again, remember, before the week ever started, he knew that this was going to take place. And yet, when the sins of all mankind, your sins, my sins, were placed upon him, it says, in agony, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. As the sins of the world were placed down upon him. And he cried out, Father, if you are willing, let this cup pass from me. In other words, I don't want this. This is agony. He had lived for 33 years a sinless life. He had overcome all the temptations of the enemy. He stood perfect on that day. And now he became sin, so that we could become righteous. There's no way that you can give any kind of a real explanation for that. We have to reach out and embrace it by faith. Because he did this, we can be redeemed. But can you imagine being confronted with the sins of all mankind, of the generations of man, men past, men forward, all mankind who would believe, those sins were being placed down upon him? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. In his humanity, he would run. In his deity, he accepted the task. I think when he stood before Pilate and Herod, and they mocked him, and the soldiers and everybody spitting on him and hitting him and putting a robe about him and a crown of thorns on his head and all of this. It just, you know, the agony of all of it. I think he could have called 10,000 angels any moment and ended it all. You see, the decision was made long before the garden, but it was confirmed in the garden when he actually felt the agony of our sins. You know those times when sin has overwhelmed you? Or maybe I should even say the practice of sin has overwhelmed you. You know those times where you're battling with your flesh and you lose the battle? Anybody in here? He said, here, let me take him. Let me carry the guilt. Let me carry the shame so that you can walk free. If, Father, if it be possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And he walked from there to a cross. Let me go right direction here. There we go. I love those three words. It is finished. You see, he is alive. That's grand. But it is finished. Says that Bill McKee can go to heaven. Not because something that I've done. Because all of my striving for loving the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, loving my neighbor as myself, all of that ends in failure. And I don't have a chance of being with God. But he came and stretched his arms out. They were nailed to a cross. He was wounded for my transgressions. I'm glad Isaiah wrote it in that way. He was wounded for my iniquities. The chastisement or the beating for my peace was upon him. By his stripes, I am healed. It is finished, church. It is finished. It's not going to be about how you work. It's going to be about how he died. And they didn't take his life. All of the beatings, the crown of thorns, even that sword that went into his side and blood and water flowed, they didn't take his life. He gave it. The other Gospels relate this and said, with a loud voice, he cried out. Another one says, into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. But all of it is summed up right here. It is finished. The work of the redemption of mankind is done. Every sacrifice, think of this. Every time a lamb or a bull's neck was cut with the hand of the person who had committed the sin on its head, and that neck was cut and the blood began to drain out and the animal was divided up and parts were put on the altar and parts were taken outside, all of that, all the blood and all the stuff that went on, it is finished. You know, that enemy of yours and mine who would tell us, you're just not good enough. You're not good enough. Don't even think about trying to serve the Lord. You're not good enough. You know what you and I need to say to him? Hey, dude, it is finished. There's no way that I can explain to you enemy of my soul. There's no way that I can communicate with you my worthiness except to say that it is finished. The end of the conflict. The end of the struggle. I depend upon Jesus. Hallelujah. I think every one of you know what the last one is, but I'll go ahead and do it. He's not here. He is risen. Hallelujah. His death was sufficient for our salvation. Can you imagine what his resurrected life will bring? If his death brings my salvation, his life will bring my resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hallelujah. He didn't say, the one who is able to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. Some reason it didn't sound right as it was making it to the channel. Doing everything perfect. He didn't say that. He said, he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh my goodness. One of these days, Bill is not here. He is risen. Imagine that. Put your name in there. If you believe in the power of the cross, if you believe that the one who came down from heaven above to this earth to give his life for your and my life, if you believe that it is real, he says, here's what you can do. Go ahead and put your name in there because he lives. I live. Oh, glory to God. This is where it ends. At the beginning. This is the end of the beginning. You understand that? Because see, he's not finished yet. He is going to make another triumphant entry. He is going to cleanse the temple of this earth so that he can come and dwell on this earth. Come on. See, we need to understand this. It all fits together. It's all his perfection. He's going to bring all of his own to be with him. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. He said, oh, if it were not so, I would have told you. And I love this. And I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Stand with me. Let me show you the last piece. Because he lives, this promise to those who will follow him. Peace be with you. After his resurrection, the disciples were in a house, in a room, locked, scared. Couldn't see any hope for the future. And Jesus came in without opening the door. That scared him a little bit too. And he said, peace be with you. And then he told him, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always to the end of the earth. 2,000 years later, this is still true. Jesus came to give us life. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, oh, Easter Sunday would be a great day to say yes to Jesus. And I just would invite you, as everyone else is heading out that direction, that you would just come down here and let us talk with you for a moment and pray with you. We promise we would not keep you long. But we want to pray with you and believe with you. I believe his promises are true. I think the fact that most of you have come on this Sunday morning, you believe in the resurrection of Jesus. He's risen. Some of you got it. I said, he is risen. May his peace be with you. Let me pray his blessing over your life. Again, our elders will be up here in the front. If you have a need and you would like somebody to pray with you, or if you want to meet Jesus today, we would love to introduce him to you, give you a chance to follow him for the rest of your life. Father in heaven, what a privilege, what an honor it has been to be here in your house, calling upon your name. We thank you this morning that you have made the provision for everything we need for our lives. You can help us as we war against our flesh and against our minds. Your spirit is powerful enough to prevail. You are our hope. And I thank you this morning for each and every one, Master, that you have brought into this sanctuary. And I pray that if there is one person, even one, who has never accepted you as Savior, in other words, they're not ready to meet you in heaven. Oh, they may be trying to love you with their heart and soul and mind and strength, but they're failing. They need Jesus. Help them, O Lord, to have the courage this morning to come to this altar and leave this house in new life. I pray now, Master, as we leave this house and go about the rest of this day, that we would be so very aware that because you live, we can have peace. And may your peace be upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Can I tell you, 2 years ago on Easter, there wasn't anybody in here. It's so good to see you this Easter. God bless you. Be safe as you return to your homes. Amen.